It's hard to believe that 21 years since I'm only 25. You just got to start young, you know. It goes by so fast. It goes by fast. Well, it's good to be in church. Well, that's more than we're glad to be in Sunday school. That's a blessing. That's good. I hope you'll be back tonight. At the service is at 5. Come back tonight. We're going to have a wonderful time tonight. If you can only come once today, come tonight. Just ponder that a little while. And you'll get it later on. But it certainly is good to be with you and good to see what the Lord is doing here and how He's working here at Independent Baptist Church. Take your Bible this morning, if you would, and turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms. Really, time does go by so quickly. I was on staff at the church in Fairbanks there for 10 years, and now it's already been 21 years in evangelism, and it's hard to believe that I've been gone from there twice as long as I was there, because it doesn't seem that long ago. But as I'm looking around, I'm seeing people here today that are older than they used to be. People that used to be just young, and now they're not. And people that used to be middle-aged, and they're still youthful. And isn't the Lord good? I was just saying about Brother McGovern. I remember years ago when you were here, and you were here in the Air Force, were you not, when you first got here? And then I recall when I found out they were headed to New Guinea, I thought, my goodness, they're going to New Guinea. How can that possibly be? New Guinea. And then they're coming back. And what a wonderful blessing. And the Lord is using them here. And it's good to see. Good to see what God is doing. If you found Psalm 100, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that we could be here this morning, that we could read these wonderful truths from Your Word. Lord, I pray that You'd use them in our hearts and lives today. And God, if there would be one here lost without Christ today, I pray they wouldn't leave in that condition, but that today might be the day of salvation. We ask You to speak to each and every heart, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I was telling somebody this morning, for years we've come to Alaska in December and January and February and all that, and it'll get nasty when we get here, and then people claim that we brought the nasty weather with them. So I want you to look around outside and see what we brought this year. Amen? And this is the kind of stuff we wait for all winter long, isn't it? For these days like this, it's just absolutely beautiful, and it's good to be here this time of year. This little psalm is full of great truth, and yet it starts off with something that's harder than it seems. Look at the beginning of it again. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with, what's that next word? Gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Now, it's easy to say, serve the Lord with gladness. It's easy to say that. It makes sense to say that. It's biblical to say that. And yet it's a whole lot harder to serve the Lord with gladness than it is to say, serve the Lord with gladness. It's easy to say that. Sometimes it's hard to do that. Not every day is a glad day. Some days are difficult. Some days are a little frustrating. Some days are hard. And it gets hard sometimes to get beyond that and serve the Lord with gladness. I'll confess to you, I am a news junkie. I am. It's not good, I know. But I listen to it. I read it. I watch it. It pops up on my phone without me even looking for it. There it is. Some horrible tragedy strikes somewhere in the world. Boom. There it is on my phone just to brighten up my day. There it is.
And I read it, and listen, I know, the whole world is going down the toilet, everything's going to fall apart, and it's all a mess, and all the rest. I just don't want to be the last one to find out. So I pay attention to the news, and you inundate yourself with that all the time. And you know what it does for you? You know what that really does for you? It sucks the gladness right out of your life. That's what it does. It sucks the gladness out. And then you show up in churches and serve the Lord with gladness. And what you're thinking is, if you know what I know, you wouldn't say that. Do you know what? Do you have any idea what's going on? And we allow the immediate circumstances of life to get our focus off of that which is real and eternal and never changes. If we want to serve the Lord with gladness, we've got to get our focus back in the right spot on that which is real and true and that never changes. Look down a little further. Look at verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Verse number 3 is a great eternal truth that never changes. I'm going to boil it down and sum it up for you this morning. Are you ready for a great eternal truth? No? That's okay. Get ready. Because this is a life-transforming truth. And it's right there in verse 3. Are you ready, brother? Here it is. God is God, and you are not. Did you get that one? God is God, and you are not. Now, that's a wonderful truth if you'll get a hold of that. You know, when we run into a lot of problems with anxiety and fear and depression and all the rest, when we start taking on more of God's responsibility instead of our own. Listen, there's a lot of stuff we can't do anything about. We have to trust God with those things. We can put it all on us, but it'll just depress us. It'll just make us anxious and fearful and all the rest. God is God, and we are not. Look at what it says about us. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Do you know what sheep worry about? Nothing. Nothing. Sheep worry about nothing. All a sheep has to do, all that a sheep has to do, is follow the shepherd. That's all he has to do. If he just sticks with the shepherd, his food will be taken care of, his water will be taken care of, all of his physical needs will be taken care of, he'll be protected from enemies and problems. All he has to do is follow the shepherd, and if he does that, his life is good. God says that's who we are. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You know what we really need to do? Just follow Him. Just keep our eyes on Him and follow Him. And then look down at the next verse, verse number 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. How do you get your focus off of the immediate and the circumstances and the problems and onto the eternal life-transforming truths that never change? The answer is that little word, thanksgiving. Enter into His courts, into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. It doesn't matter where you are when you say that. It doesn't matter what circumstances are happening in your life when you say that. It doesn't matter what's going to happen tomorrow when you say that. It's always true. For the Lord is good. And then it says this, His mercy is everlasting. Again, that never changes. His mercy is everlasting. The same mercy that I received when I was a little boy in Vacation Bible School and I trusted Christ as Savior, that's going to be with me all my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and it'll be with me throughout eternity. His mercy is everlasting. And then look at the last statement in verse number 5. His truth endureth to all generations. Thank God for that. What God said thousands of years ago, still absolutely true, and you can build your life on it, and it never changes. By the way, that's why you don't need to revise the Bible. You don't need to change the Bible. You don't need to retranslate the Bible. You just need to take your King James Bible and read it and believe it and trust it. That's all you need to do. Because it endureth forever. What a wonderful thing. And yet we spend our lives defeated, and depressed, and anxious. And that ought not be so for a child of God. We've got to get our focus off of immediate circumstances and on to the eternal. And I told you the key to that is that little word, thanksgiving.
thanksgiving. We need to learn to be thankful. I know what you're thinking. Well, I don't have much to be thankful for. You know, this is happening and that's happening and this is coming down the road. I don't have much to be thankful for. Listen, you can be thankful today for what God has already done. The things that are done, settled, finished, the things God has already accomplished in your life and for you in the past. If you don't see anything right now, look back and be thankful for what God has already done. You can be thankful this morning for your family. I lost several of you right there. It was like a cloud passed over. You said, you don't know my family. If you knew my family, you wouldn't have said that. Well, I do know your family. I do. The preacher gave me a list, and I studied it last night. No, he didn't. But you're going to think he did in just a minute, because I'm going to tell you about your family. You know what I know about your family, and your family, and your family, and you know what I know about your family? Hang on now, you're going to think somebody squealed. They're a dysfunctional mess. They are. So, how did you know that? Because that's how they all are. There's no other kind. No, there is. I know a perfect family. They're a perfect family, and I want our family to be just like that family because they're perfect. You know why you think they're perfect? Because you don't know them well enough yet. That's all. You get to know them. Listen, go to their house. Go to their house and stay longer than you should. Everybody with half a brain knows there's a time when you should leave, right? You're there and suddenly something just changes and you think, we really should go now. It's time to go. Next time you're at their house and you get that feeling, don't go. Stay. Stay for a couple more hours. Just hang around. Just stay. Stay all night. Just stay. And you know what you'll find out? They're a dysfunctional mess. That's what you'll find out. Now, their dysfunction may be in a different area than yours, but it's just as dysfunctional. That's the only kind there is. You want to find some dysfunctional families? Go right here. The book starts out with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve in perfection. Now, what could possibly go wrong? Here they are, the perfect couple in a perfect place. What could possibly go wrong? And no sooner do they get there in the perfect place than Eve falls into temptation. She eats the fruit, and then she goes out and she drags everybody she can in with her. Adam. That would be Adam, just one guy. And gets him in there, and next thing you know, sin is there, and then they have children, and it's all downhill from there. And then there's murder in the first family, and there's division, and it gets worse as it goes. That's how it starts. Dysfunctional. And you can go to Abraham, the father of the faithful. Abraham, that great man of God. You remember what Abraham did? He took Sarah down into Egypt, and he told everybody she was his sister instead of his wife, and nearly married her off to the king. God had to show up in the middle of the night and stop the whole thing before it got ugly. Now, he said, well, that was just a fluke. That was this was a little incident. Well, you try that. Go ahead. Get you a flight to Seattle next weekend and take your wife down there. Tell everybody it's your sister and marry her off. See how well that goes for you. That's not the kind of thing she's going to forget the next week. That one's going to stay with you for decades right there. I told you this morning, we were looking at David and Goliath. I want to see the replay of, I want to see the big stuff. You know, I want to see David and Daniel, and I want to see Elijah, and I want to see Noah. I want to see all of it. But I hope we get to see some of the in-between stuff. Like the day where Abraham and Sarah are just sitting around at the tent. And Abraham says, Sarah, I believe we should do this. And Sarah says, oh, really? You thought it was a good idea to tell everybody it's your sister, too, in Egypt. Oh, Sarah would not have done that. Oh, yes, she would have. This is not mythology and fairy tales. These are real people. You don't forget that kind of stuff. These are dysfunctional. We won't even talk about Hagar. I mean, it gets ugly. Trust me, you don't want to know about Jacob's family. You don't even want to know. It's a mess.
Why?
Because they're people. They're people. It's a dysfunctional man. You can be thankful for your family because God put you right in the family you needed to be in. But it's not perfect. There's no such thing. God put you right where you needed to be. So, well, there were bad things that happened in our family. Okay. Don't blame God for that. That's because of sin. But did you know that if you can get your focus on that which is eternal, even the bad things that happen, God can use those down the line to help somebody else if you'll get your focus right. If all you do is focus on woe is me and this happened to me and it's awful and it's terrible and you'll never help anybody. But if you can get your focus on the truth of eternity, then even bad things that happen, God can use those in your life to help somebody else. Isn't God good? You can be thankful for your family. You can be thankful for your friends. You know who these people are in this room? These are your friends. They are. Listen, when everything's falling apart in your life or something happens and you need some help and you need it fast, it's not the guy down at the tattoo parlor or the bar that's going to show up to help you. It's these people right here. It's this guy that's going to answer the phone in the middle of the night and show up at your house. It's not somebody from down at the club. It's him right there. These are your friends. Thank God for friends. You can even steal cars from friends and it turns out all right. We stole one from here last year. Had no idea the police were looking for us. Had no idea. You can ask your preacher about that later. Thank God for friends. Amen. What a blessing. You can be thankful for your country. Some of you are, some of you aren't. That's okay. You can be thankful for your country. Listen, this is still the greatest place in all the world. Does it have problems? Oh, yeah. Are they going to get worse? Most likely. Yeah. Is it going to end badly? Pretty sure. Yeah. This is still the best place in all the world. Have you noticed people are still trying to get in here? They're trying to get out of other places, but they're still trying to get in here because this is still the greatest place in all the world. And you know why that is? Because of the biblical foundations of over 200 years ago. All of our founding fathers were not born-again Christians. They weren't. Some of them were just religious. Some of them didn't even have any use for God in their personal lives. And you know what? Even those who didn't have use for God in their personal lives said, they said, we need to do it on the principles of that book or it won't work. And they were right. And we've been blessed by God because of it for over 200 years. Now, the further we get from that, the less blessing we'll see. But thank God we're still being blessed because of it. We're still being blessed today. You can be thankful for your country. There's nowhere else you want to be than right here. But listen, those are just physical, material things. Your family and your friends and your nation. Listen, those are things that God did for you a long time ago, but they're just physical, material things. The spiritual things are so much greater. So much greater. Listen, you can look back and you can see the redemption provided through the blood of Jesus Christ. God provided that and settled that a long time ago. I can look back today to when I was 7 years old in vacation Bible school in Soldotna Baptist Church in Soldotna, Alaska, and sitting on an old wooden bench on an uneven concrete floor in the basement, and all the benches wobbled because the floor was not level. And we were sitting there, all of us kids packed in there, and a guy stood up and he preached the gospel and gave an invitation, and I stuck my hand up in the air and I said, I need to be saved. And a lady took the Bible and she showed me how to be saved, and I trusted Christ as Savior. Now, I was 7 years old. Now I'm old as dirt. I'm 54. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm 53. Praise the Lord. I just gained a year. I'll be 54 next month. Old as dirt. Practically dead and just don't know it. You know? And a long time ago, I trusted Christ as Savior. If I never have another good day in my life, that's enough right there. You know why? Because that takes care of everything else. That takes care of everything else for eternity. If I don't have another thing to be thankful for today, I can be thankful for something that happened a long time ago and rejoice in that because that settled eternity for me. And you know what?
That day when I was 7 years old in that vacation Bible school and I trusted Christ as Savior, God had already done something long, long, long before that that made it all possible. Long before I ever came along, He sent His precious Son to die on the cross and pay the penalty for my sin. And when I showed up thousands of years later as a little boy needing to be saved, redemption through the blood of Christ was already set and waiting for me to show up, and all I had to do was take it. That's all I had to do. I'm thankful for what's already been done in the past. That's stuff that's already done. And the good news is that redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ is still there today, just sitting there waiting for you. Just waiting. And if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, all you have to do is reach out and take what God has already done. His redemption is already there. Freedom in Christ, already there. Mercy, already there. And there for all eternity. You can be thankful today for what's in the past. But you can be thankful for what God is doing right now. Because God is at work in your life right now. He is. So I don't think God's working in my life. I know that He is, because you're breathing. You can take a couple fingers and slap them right there and wait a minute and see if anything's moving. There should be something going like that. If it's not, tell us after church, because we're going to have to do something about that. But if there's something moving in there, you know what's happening? God is sustaining you right now. Oh, I know. Well, that's just electrical impulses that make the heart beat, and that's what it is. Well, okay, that's fine. But there's more to it than that. More to it than that. Somebody has to start those electrical impulses. You can put all the ingredients for a human being in a bowl, and you're not going to get anything but a bowl of mush. Something's got to start that process, and it's God that does that. It is God and God alone that does that. And by the way, it's God and God alone that stops the process. No, if my heart stops, they'll put me on the table and hit me with the defibrillator and I'll come back to life. Well, maybe that's nice. Sometimes they can even do that a couple of times. But there will be a day when they can throw you on the table and hit you with the paddles and they can run the whole power plant through you till you're nothing but a French fry. And that's the end. There's nothing happening. Because when God says that's it, that's it. It's not just electrical impulses. It's the hand of God sustaining you every single day of your life. Okay, that's nice that God is sustaining me and making my heart beat, but the problem is He's not answering my prayers. Okay. You want to see Him doing what you want Him to do. I understand. If God's not answering your prayer, I have a recommendation for you. Find somebody who's just gotten their prayers answered. Before church tonight, there's like testimony time. People can tell what God's been doing in their lives and show up. Listen. So, well, I don't care if God answered their prayer. I want Him to answer mine. Well, get over that. I'm smiling at you because you can't get mad if I smile at you. Get over that and listen to what God's doing in somebody else's life. And you know what that'll do for you? That will help you. When you hear somebody else stand up and say, God answered my prayer, and here's what He did in my life, don't get upset that He answered their prayer and not yours. Instead, go rejoice with them. Rejoice with them. Because that will help your heart, and it will remind you that if God will answer His prayer, He can answer my prayer. God's not done. And if He's working over there, I might be next. And so I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to rejoice with Him, and I'm going to rejoice with her, and we're going to watch God work together. God's not done in your life. If He was done in your life, the heart would quit beating, and the air would quit filling your lungs. He is not finished. You just be faithful, and you keep trusting Him and keep praying. You can be thankful for what God has done in the past. You can be thankful for what God is doing right now. And you can be thankful for what's coming down the road. I know that that's the hard part. It is. Because none of us really know what's coming down the road. And sometimes we just assume that whatever it is, it's going to be bad. And we know that if the Lord tarries His coming, we will all get old. We will all get sick. Things will happen. And that's scary for us. I understand. You think, well, I'm not worried about getting old and sick. I'm worried about the whole world falling apart. All it's going to take is one goofy little dictator somewhere to push a button and the whole thing blows up. Yeah. Entirely possible. Could be right around the corner. Yeah, there's scary stuff coming down the road. So what are we supposed to do? Well, God has some promises for us about what comes next. And I'm not talking about heaven. Look, if you would, at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, there's that little word again, let your requests be made known unto God. So God tells us there in verse number 6 what we're supposed to do. Be careful for nothing. We're not supposed to let care and worry rule our lives, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then verse 7 comes, and I don't know if you've noticed it, but verse number 7 is something that happens in the future. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So there might be some scary stuff coming down the road. You might have gotten a diagnosis for some kind of illness and you don't know how it's going to end up. Or you might be concerned about what's going on in a worldwide scale and you don't know how it's going to turn out. Here's what God said. You let your request be made known with thanksgiving. And God has something waiting for you down the road. Peace which passeth all understanding. He's saying, hey, you won't have any problems. He didn't say that. He said, what you'll have is peace that passeth all understanding. The best way I can explain that to you is a funeral. You ever been to the funeral of a lost person? Somebody who didn't know God, who lived a life apart from God, rejected God, their family and friends apart from God. Listen, as a preacher, that's a horrible place to be. Because you can't stand there and say, well, he's in heaven now. You can't lie to people. You can't do that. Instead, the best you can do is say, you can go to heaven if you trust Christ as Savior. You don't have to go to hell. And you want to be delicate and you don't want to be unkind and it's a horrible situation. And I've been in those places and seen people almost the weeping and the despair and people nearly crawling into the casket because they know they'll never see that person again. Horrible. It's just awful. But I've also been to the funeral where the young man is laid out there, the body, and the parents are sitting there. And he loved God and had intended to serve God with his life. And then his life was snuffed out. And there are his friends who love God and his church family and mom's sitting on the second row with tears running down her face. Yet a little smile on the corner of her lips and her hands stuck up in the air, rejoicing because she's going to see him again. It's a whole different thing. Oh, there's sadness, but there's not the despair. There's not the fear. You know what there is? There's peace that passeth all understanding. And the world would look at it and say, how in the world could you even smile? Your son is dead. Because I know he's more alive now than he ever was. And I'm going to see him again. And the world doesn't understand it. The peace that passeth all understanding. Joel, aren't you concerned that the world will blow up? Sure. I suppose. But you know what I know? I know God has it all under control. I'm not going to waste my life worrying about it. God has it under control. And He will give peace at just the right time. When the rest of the world is running around like chickens with their heads cut off, trying to figure out what to do next, the child of God can say, I know what to do next. Trust God. You trust Him. And then everything's going to be all right. It's amazing. Peace that passes all understanding. And then when this life is all over, you know what God has waiting for us? Heaven. We get heaven. Listen, the child of God has the best of everything. We have peace that passeth all understanding in this messed up world. And when this life is over, we get eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to beat that. We were just in Saldatna. I told you, we always have come to Alaska in December, January. As a matter of fact, I think the last time we were here, we had flown in the middle of the night on a Saturday night and then preached here on a Sunday morning and then headed down to Saldatna. And that's what we've done for years. We've always done it that way. My mother lives there. My family is there. And we would spend the week before Christmas in Washington with my father-in-law. And then we'd fly up here and we'd spend Christmas with mom and the family. And then we'd have meetings around Alaska while we were here. That was always December, January, February. My mother is 88. She'll be 89 in October. And she has dementia. Physically, she's doing pretty good, but her memory is gone. She can sit and talk to you about anything you want to talk about, carry on a perfectly good conversation about any subject matter you want. She just won't know that you did it 5 minutes from now or that you were even there. I promise you, sitting there at the house, she doesn't know that we were there over the last 3 days. She has no idea. And if you were to talk to her, she'd say, no, I haven't seen anybody for weeks. Nobody's been here. And yet we just left there last night. It's strange what the brain does. And that's where she is. She went through a rough period where everybody was correcting her and she was losing her memory and it was hard and she was forgetting to do stuff and things had to be taken care of and she didn't want to let go of some of those things and she was upset and it was frustrating. And now she's over that hump. She really is. She's in good spirits. She's happy. She will laugh and joke about anything under the sun. She knows she's forgetting, and quite honestly, she doesn't care. All is well. We've got it really good right now. LaVon got here yesterday. She went to the parade with us, the Progress Days parade, the highlight of which is the wiener dogs that go through. It's exciting. It's very patriotic. A whole bunch of wiener dogs going down the road. And we didn't think she'd go because she really doesn't leave the house anymore. And I told her that morning, I said, we're going to the parade. The kids are already down there. And then I went off and did something, came back to the house, and she was sitting there with her shoes on, ready to go. So we put her in the wheelchair, and away we went. She sat out there on the sidewalk for who knows how long yesterday through that parade. And we just had a wonderful time. Wonderful time. We got in last year about this same time. We got to the house, and she was so excited that we were there. And we were talking and just having a good time and sitting around the house. And my wife, on her phone, got a joke. I don't think her phone is saved because it gets jokes. Mine gets important things like news. She gets jokes on hers. And this joke popped up on her phone, and it wasn't even a very good joke. And you know how they get passed around. And so she told the joke, and we laughed because that's what you're supposed to do. It wasn't a very good joke. You want to know what the joke was, don't you? Okay, I'll tell you. Why do cows have hooves instead of feet? Well, it's because they lack toes. See what I mean? It's a groaner. It's not that great of a joke. It's like, oh, okay. And well, we looked over at Mom. She thought it was the funniest joke she'd ever heard in all her life. She was shaking up and down in the chair. And she's not one to laugh out loud. She's shaking in the chair, tears coming out of her eyes, and her face is red. So we told the joke again and got her going again. And we did that. We just had a great time. And finally, everything calmed down. And she was looking on her little end table by her chair. We said, Mom, what are you looking for? And she said, I can't find my phone numbers. We said, well, who do you want to call? Mom was sitting in her chair. I was right to her right on the couch. Liz was to my right over there. Hope and David were over on the other couch. And she said, I want to call Mark, that's me, and tell him the joke. But I can't find his number. I'm just sitting there watching the whole thing. I thought maybe I had been raptured, and I was just watching from a distance. And my wife was trying to be a blessing, so she said, well, I have his number. And Mom said, well, would you give it to me? She said, sure. So Mom got out a piece of paper and a pencil, and Liz gave her my number. She wrote it down on the paper. She picked up the house phone, and she called me. And my cell phone was right there, so I picked it up, and I answered. And then I grabbed the pillow and held it up so she couldn't see I was talking to her. And I answered the phone, and she said, Mark and Liz are here. And Liz just told me a joke, and I want to tell you the joke, but I can't remember the joke. And we laughed. And so my wife wanted to be a blessing. So she said, well, I'll tell you the joke again. So she told her the joke again. And she laughed, and then she told me the joke on the phone. And we laughed, and then we talked for a while, because that's what you do when you're on the phone with your mom. You talk for a while. And then we said goodbye, and I hung up. I put the pillow down. And my mother said, I think there were people there because I heard voices in the background. And we laughed, and we laughed, and we laughed. We said, oh, that's horrible, it's terrible. No, no. Listen, can I be honest with you? It's not going to get better. That every moment like that that God gives us, we're going to hang on to, and we're going to squeeze all the fun out of it that we can. She was genuinely happy, and the laughter was real, and the joy was real, and we enjoyed every minute of it. We're not going to get those things forever. It's not always going to be that way. So every little bit we get, we're going to hang on to it. That's just where God has us right now. The sad part of it is that my kids don't get to know Grandma the way Grandma really was. They don't get to see her playing the organ at church. They don't get to see her teaching the Sunday school class that she taught for decades. They don't get to see her out, you know, getting the buckets and the clam shovels and going down to Clam Gulch and digging the big old razor clams. And she did wonderful things with those razor clams. They don't get to see her start cooking in November and cook till January, you know, and piles of new stuff ended up on the table every day. She did that all my life. And just wonderful stuff. She didn't do any of that anymore. They don't get to see her jump on the snow machine and head out into the woods. And some of my most formative young years were spent in terror, hanging onto the back of the snow machine as she took off through the woods. Some of you know how that worked. My job was hang on, just hang on, and I just hang on. They don't see any of that. They'll never know that. But you know what? I told you she's 88. She's about to be 89 this fall. I've told her she should go to 100 because it's not that far. I don't know how far she'll make it, but I know what comes next. I know what comes next. And they'll get to know her where she doesn't have pain and she doesn't have memory issues and she doesn't have problems, and she'll be better there than she ever was here. And they'll get to know her for all eternity. Because if you called my mother today and asked her if she's saved and when it happened, you know what she'd tell you? She would tell you without hesitation. I believe she was 12 years old in Sunday school in Brainerd, Minnesota. And she trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And because of that day, there's nothing but good coming down the road. Nothing but good waiting. You know why a lot of people are not very thankful for what's coming in the future? Because they don't have anything to look back on in the past. And they look ahead and all they see is fear and doubt and questions. Maybe today you need to settle your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you do that, you'd look ahead with nothing but joy. Nothing but thankfulness. I'm so glad for that day in Vacation Bible School when I got saved. Do you have something to look back on this morning? Let me say this as kindly as I can. If you don't have a day like that you can look back on where you know for sure you realize you were a sinner and you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, then there is nothing good to look forward to. You'd better enjoy this life because it's short. And what comes next for you without Christ is not good. It's what the Bible calls hell. And it's an awful, awful end. You want to avoid that? Then why don't you make today that day that you can look back on 10 years from now and say, okay, I know. It's settled. I know where I'm spending eternity. We have much to be thankful for. And if we don't, we just need to stop and look around us a little bit. I hope you have a reason to be thankful this morning. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much.